Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Ashcast for the week of March 12th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us this week, we have Chris.
You're not trying to draw a psycho pension. You really are crazy.
God. And Joe.
Lethal Weapon quote.
Movie references are fun.
Yeah.
They are.
So, I think we got a great show as usual. We got a bunch of news to talk about later. But I want to kick it off like we always do with show and tell.
Mm.
And, Chris, what are you watching?
I'm
guessing Lethal Weapon related things.
Yeah. It was on TV on, so I just caught it. And, I haven't seen Lethal Weapon 3 in a long time. Maybe at least like 5 years. It's one of the first Lethal Weapons I actually saw in theaters when I was five. That was an irresponsible family trip. Like, oh, movie, Lethal Weapon. I didn't see any prior Lethal Weapons, so it's like the first one I saw, and that's why it's like, oh, like, I recognize this movie.
Are they, they're all rated R, I think, right? Like,
yep.
Four?
Irresponsible, like, parenting. And the more I think about it, like, it was R for the time, but now when you watch it, it's like, this is R? Like, a little bit of blood, but, like, I get that as a five-year-old, like, people have blood inside them,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a surprise, but, like, even then as a kid, I just, like, it wasn't something that dramatically was like, oh, man, awesome, and as I grew older, I'm just like, oh, man, like, what happened? So yeah, for those who haven't ever seen a Lethal Weapon, it's just generic like action and buddy cop comedy. It really refined it from like the like what late 80s, early 90s of buddy cop comedies of
Black Man. Yeah.
Yeah, from like Lethal Weapon 1, like at least every 3 years of the first trilogy, and then they made that fourth one that like just spit on the Asian community.
Yeah.
But like this is But it's great because this movie had, like, pre-racist Mel Gibson. At least, like, secretly racist Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Pesci was coming out of his, like, he was doing, like, he wasn't associated to be, like, a mean guy yet. I remember this was, like, after, like, my Uncle Vinny. So, it's
my
like, oh,
Vinny.
Joe Pesci. Yeah, my cousin
same
Vinny.
Thing.
Just same thing. And, like, Home Alone. Like, he was just, like, a goofy, like, mad uncle that, like, was funny, but, like, you know, be careful of before he became, like, a creepy, like, I don't want to say anything rude to Joe Pesci. He might hit me with a baseball bat.
What are you, a hand model?
And so, like, coming into the, unlike Danny Glover, who, like, just doesn't age. He just looks the same in every movie now.
Mm.
Except for, like, I think Death at a Funeral is when he started looking his age.
Probably, yeah.
He's a weathered man.
Yeah, but, like, I just how irresponsible how, like, the LAPD is to pair, like, to let, like, a veteran cop pair of, like, a mid, not a rookie, but, like, you know, he's definitely, like, there's an age difference between these two. It's, like, an out-of-shape veteran cop and, like, a very, like, mental partner.
Special Forces veteran.
Yeah. It's, like, I feel like Mel Gibson's character should be on SWAT more than, like, random detective thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Lethal Weapon, this movie's about gun smuggling and stealing from, like, the police garage. And so, the main villain is like, an ex-cop named Jack Travis, who's played by Stuart Wilson, who I didn't know was, like, a prominent figure in my childhood. He just appears in, the most random movies that I've seen, and I never recognized him until, like, I actually looked him up recently. I was like, oh, my God. He's in, like, every every movie I basically went to go see as a kid. Like, ever since Lethal Weapon, he's been in, like, Teenage Mutant Turtles 3 as that, like, random, like, English dude in Japan. He was in Hot Fuzz as, like, English doctor. Was a community member. I forgot, like, the role, the thing was, but it was, like...
Neighborhood Watch or whatever.
The Neighborhood Watch guy, but was it just called Neighborhood Watch or was it something else? It's, like, something really English.
I think it was, like, English. The... whatever the name of the town, what, like the Improvement Society or something.
And, I didn't know he was in Vertical Limit. I didn't know he was in The Rock. I didn't know it was the same dude from The Mask, from Zorro.
Mm-hmm.
He played the weird Spanish dude who gets killed by being dropped off a cliff by the original Zorro. So, I was like, holy shit, man, like, I didn't know he's English, and he's hardcore English, and in this movie, it's like, there's no accent. I was like, wow. Actor. I don't know. It's just like, watching, this is like the weakest, not the weakest, but it's definitely like not, this Lethal Weapon 3 is nothing compared to Lethal Weapon 2 or 1.
Yeah.
Like, each villain in those two movies were like, progressively, you know, difficult. The first one was somehow Gary Busey. And then the sequel is like warlords, like a gangster group of like African
diplomats.
But like even in the end when he fights that like weird kickboxer guy, you know, like there's like a fight on the cargo ship. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
This, they have a fight like in a construction yard, and this is such a 90s movie because it's like they fight like street LA, like East LA street gangsters for like a little bit. They fight drug runners. They fight weapons runners. Like, that's just sell, like simple Uzis. And then, like, one of the revolving themes around this movie is cop killer bullets. You know, the full metal jackets.
Yeah.
And, I like, that's a plot device. That's also what Murtaugh uses to... that's what Riggs uses to kill Jack Travis. Because he shoots him behind, like, a big cat, like... dirt digger thing. And then he tells him to go to hell. And then he crashes into, like, an urban development area.
That's the one-liner, go to hell?
Well, Jack Travis gets shot, and he goes, go to hell. And then Riggs goes, you first.
It's not exactly, it's just been revoked.
Yeah, it's not like... You can't do that. Especially when, like, he shoots the dude and he's so unarmed, but then Danny Glover's just like, I'm so pissed. You know, and shoots him.
I have diplomatic immunity!
So, Hammer, you can't sue.
And I also think this is the only movie where, like, their house doesn't get, like, Murtaugh's house doesn't get affected by anything.
Oh, yeah.
In every movie, it's always, like, destroyed. Something always goes wrong with it. First movie, a car goes through it. Second movie, the toilet explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Third movie, nothing. Fourth movie, it gets burned down.
Yeah.
Like, gently. Yeah. So, it's definitely like, okay, this is bad. But then, like, it was a 10-year gap or something, and then it was like, then Lethal Weapon 4 popped up, and
no one cared.
It made Lethal Weapon 3, like, seem bad. It's, like, the only comparison to make this look better.
Mm-hmm.
But, a very mild movie. But definitely, like, it part of the trilogy of it, you know?
Or I think of it as, like, a whatever the two duo.
Yeah, no one thought, like, they were just cranking these movies out. But, like, they're not bad. But they're, like, totally outdated because of the random, like, saxophone.
Well, the first one was, like, was Eric Clapton that did the score?
Eric Clapton is stuck around for the first three movies. He's in it again. In fact, the soundtrack's done by Eric Clapton and Sting and Elton John. It's such a 90s
power
movie.
Trio.
Yep. They each have like a single on the movie CD.
Oh, man. Yeah, the first thing about it is like there's so much saxophone in it. It was crazy.
But like, this is how the saxophone's like... it's funny, the saxophone, because it's like used to indicate to the audience that the scene's over before they move on to the next one. It's like after like a few seconds of dialogue, then like a saxophone song would just play, and then like
play a soft sax, man.
And then it's like a new scene, and it's like, what the hell? I didn't really notice that.
It's like it's the guy from The Lost Boys, off screen. So, anything else, Chris?
That's about it.
Okay. What about you, Joe?
Oh boy, I made up for my sort of apathetic movie watching recently this past week.
Oh man.
So let me first start by saying it was just chaos. It was just chaos. So first and foremost, I've been watching the 2003, I think it is. Let me check this really quick for y'alls. It's MTV's computer generated Spider-Man cartoon, if you can call it that.
With Patrick Harris and everything?
Yeah. See, let me talk about the good things first. Neil Patrick Harris is an excellent Spider-Man voice. I like him a lot in the video games. I like him a lot in this. I see why watching, this short-lived series, I can see from watching it why they wanted him to be the voice of the video game Spider-Man. So that's enjoyable. They definitely have a clear passion for the character. They really like Spider-Man. I mean, everything from his movements and mannerisms as Spider-Man to the way his eyes get bigger and smaller like they would in the comics. I even pointed out to Chris when we watched an episode that he has that sort of black eyeliner almost. His eyes have the really classic comic book look where there's black around the white, like, I guess, lenses or lens part of his mask.
You said to give it an expression.
Yeah, it gives him a lot of emotion. Like, he can look surprised. He can look angry. He can look, surprised and angry. Spider-Man himself looks, it's primitive, but if you could get over that, I think he looks good. I think he moves well. I think he fights like we would expect Spider-Man to fight. And, that's about where the good stuff ends. The show itself, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's Netflix's fault, but it's probably not because they just make the DVD, available for instant watching. The entire series, the entire season, which was the series, is completely out of order.
Awesome. Like, I think it's an entire experiment just to see how much you can get away with.
No, it can't be this blatant because it is just off-putting. Like, it feels like watching Memento. Like, it's crazy because you see Spider-Man bang a news reporter, and then two episodes later he meets her for the first time, and you're like, whoa, hold on. We've been here before. Like, what's going on? It's very, very, very strange. Harry looks nothing like the Harry Osborn of the comics. He looks sort of like Macaulay Culkin in the movie Party Monster. It's just very bizarre. Like, the Osborn family is like Aryan. They're like blonde hair and blue eyes. Like, instead of being like the cursed offspring of 1,000 redheads or gingers or whatever, they just take way too many liberties with this. Mary Jane is kind of a hoe, which is a little not cool.
She's like a suicide girl almost.
Yeah, which is fine with me. Like, no, whatever. Not to play my hand too much, but I actually kind of dig that look. But she's just such a hoe bag. Like, it's really terrible. Like, her philosophy is like, take it wherever she can get it. And I'm like, oh man, no. She's supposed to be like a savant. She's supposed to be like really, really hot, but like kind of innocent and just like leads guys on. I don't know. It's...
See, you're used to that Mary Jane from, the 90s cartoon where she's, she knows she's hot, but she doesn't, exploit it too much.
She's like, oh,
exactly. This Mary Jane's like, boy, I sure am hot. We should bang. Let's not. she's just like, she could have been a villain. She could have been, cock blocker. So, overall, the series fails pretty miserably. They don't rely enough on classic villains. They have a weird bastardized version of Electro, I guess. See, I was telling Chris, this series is kind of like some weird rift or compromise between the Ultimate Spider-Man series and the comics. It's pretty strange. They sort of make their own, like, origins, and they make their own explanation for things. Overall, it's only like 13 episodes, so definitely give it a watch if you're a Spider-Man fan. Lower your expectations and you'll probably be pleasantly surprised. Don't go into it expecting it to be a continuation of where the 90s series left off, or more accurately, don't expect it to be in the same spirit as the 90s series. Yes, it is dated. Yes, the graphics are kind of primitive, but it's not unwatchable. So if nothing else, it's like watching a big cutscene from a Spider-Man video game. It's interesting, but again, they just take too many liberties with storylines. They take way too many liberties with villains. They made Dr. Connors like a total douchebag. Like, he's the whole point to Dr. Connors is that he's a sympathetic character, that you're supposed to feel for him, and you're supposed to hate the fact that Spider-Man has to like have a tussle with him and then like bring him in. But in this one, he's just like a psychopath. And then, of course, there's the cheap Stan Lee cameo as well, which is just not appreciated when it happens. And it doesn't happen until the last episode. So you're like, oh, come on. Like, you knew it was going to happen, but I was hoping that it wouldn't, but it did. So moving on, other than this half-baked Spider-Man attempt, I saw In Time, starring that Justin Timberland boy. That Justin Timber whatever character, and then girl from Jennifer's Body. So it was a decent, if not cheesy and somewhat cliche, sci-fi movie. It felt like watching a amalgamation of like different cliched sci-fi ideas.
Yeah.
Like, what if in the future it was a dystopia? What if in the future we did not have control and the elite ran everything? What if in the future everybody had some sort of weird characteristic that they don't have now? What if in the future the cars were futuristic but retro? Like, it's really, it's really super duper cliched, which usually I don't have a problem with, but this just seemed to be like way too much of it. Like, it seems like whoever wrote this just went on a sci-fi bender and was like, yeah, I'm going to take bits and pieces of everything I've seen and just make like a best of sort of compilation.
You know who it is? I think it's the same guy who directed Gattaca.
That would make a lot of sense.
Oh, man.
Because seriously, dude, it's like, okay, In Time is like the going south of sci-fi movies. You know, like the commercial comes on and you're like, oh, I like that song. I've heard that song. Okay. This isn't a bad, like, Southern rock compilation, but nobody actually buys Going South. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought about it, man. It's like one ZZ Top song. I
Monsters
find.
Of Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Monster ballads. And they show like guys skydiving and it's like, this is awesome. So yeah, that's basically what it is. It's the compilation CD of sci-fi. It's decent, like I said. It's got pretty good direction, believe it or not, and it's got a nice feel to it. Like, it is a pretty gritty sort of movie, and that's an adjective that gets used way too much, and I blame Batman Begins for that. The gritty retelling of the Batman legend, and now it's like the gritty retelling of the life of Ray Charles, or the gritty retelling of fucking Cinderella, like, whatever. So it had a good gritty sort of feel to it. Mm-hmm. The direction wasn't bad. Cillian Murphy, I just happen to like a lot. He's a great actor, in my opinion. And, you know, his parts were very well done, very watchable. And his character, you know, spoiler alert, they kill him off, which kind of sucks because I think he had a lot more potential. But
it's like those, whatever. It's like those random way to kill him off, too.
I know. He just sort of stops being, like, quite literally.
Which is like, oh, whoops.
Yeah, oh, I guess I, well, bye.
So, wait, spoiler alert, because I remember Zach told me this, and it's like, for a time guardian, he didn't pay attention to his own time?
Well, he's always, because he's so dedicated, I guess, something, like, he's always, like, right on the edge of, like, running out of time. He gets, like, his, like, daily time allotment, right, like, the last minute all the time.
So I figure if you're the timekeeper, you should get like a super time like the other guy had that gave him the way time. Like
we just like he's just a beat cop kind of, so like he gets like a certain amount of time every day.
Like I said, I liked his character a lot, but they just sort of like killed him off because they had to. Like the obligatory kill off, and I guess they couldn't have Justin Timberlake is like at first I thought he was gonna be kind of a pussy because like his character is just like, oh mom, I love you, mom. I work for you and all this stuff. But he's like a secret badass and he just like fucks people up. So I'm like, okay, I guess he's been like doing Taibo or something.
They didn't explain where he learns to fight.
No, he just like fucks dudes up and like uses guns and stuff. Like, I'm like, wow, in the future, people are tough.
The gritty streets or whatever like, district.
He's whatever. From like the white, he's from the white ghetto. Yeah.
That's like about certain movies. I'm like, how did these people learn to fight? It's like, I'm a writer, and it's like, secretly, I know how to shoot guns. Like, how? Where'd you find the time?
So like, it's like every Steven Seagal movie. Where he's like, no, I'm, I'm an EPA officer, but I got a gun.
Yeah, he really is. In like,
I'm a Russian novelist, but I have a gun.
I know, he's Seagal. He's in like the hipster ghetto. It's very weird, and apparently they like teach him how to fight or whatever. Pete from Mad Men was... Pete from Mad Men. Yep. So if you've seen any episode of Mad Men featuring Pete, you know exactly how he acted throughout the course of this entire movie. Again, going back to the cliches, it had a very post-Matrix-ish sort of feel to it, right down to the leather trench coats. And another thing I noticed about this movie was that it had almost a comical amount of sexual innuendo. It just seemed like every chance they had, there would be something like some character would turn something that was said into something sexual. Like, I maybe I'm the only one who noticed it, but there has to be like a YouTube montage or something. It's like, you do everything around, you do everything too fast. And then he's like, not everything. Like, you almost expect him to be like, that's what she said. Yeah. Like, when stuff gets said, so.
They do use like every single time pun you possibly could think of.
Yeah, oh my god, they really do. So moving on from in time, I have two more things, guys, and I'm going to ask you to choose one or two.
Two.
Okay. So last night I saw House Party.
Hey, it fits in the whole like old school movie watching, Lethal Weapon style.
I have to tell you, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. The first House Party, not House Party 2, the pajama affair, the first House Party is a
really
dope-ass movie. Yes, Chris, there really is a House Party 2. I think it's called the pajama affair. It's
it was like a House Party.
There's like five House Party movies.
There's a lot of House Party.
They did House Party 4 in like 2007 or something. Yeah. Like that's fairly recent. But yeah, motherfucker, that first House Party movie is awesome, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Martin Lawrence is like classic Martin Lawrence in this. It's like Martin Lawrence Begins almost. Like, it's really, really, his parts are hilarious. Hats off to Kid and Play because, it's dated, but they were pretty damn funny. And, go ahead, Chris.
Saying like, that was what we watched when growing up. And like, when we get older, like, House Party's gonna be like this. Like, life's gonna be so fun.
Oh, yeah, man. I thought I was going to be a teenager like the House Party movies. I thought I was going to be a teenager like Boy Meets World.
Start doing, like, elaborate dance moves.
I thought I was going to meet, like, a slick substitute teacher who rode a motorcycle, and he'd, like, adopt me, and, like, everything would be cool, and then I'd, like, help Vader's son, like, find love or something. Like, oh, man, I just had all these blown-up expectations for...
You've been watching a lot of Boy Meets World recently, man.
I actually bought my girlfriend the entire series on DVD, got a lot of that to do. Thanks, Amazon. Lightning deal. Back to House Party. John Witherspoon is just the fucking man. He can say literally any sentence. Like, he could say, I would like a sandwich, and it would just be hilarious to me. I was actually live tweeting the movie as it happened, so if you want to see some of my favorite quotes and anecdotes about the film, definitely check out the @EVAction Twitter account and do some reading. And then to close out what I've been watching this week, I don't know that it could get better than House Party, but if I could top it with a what the fuck sort of selection, I also, because somebody had to, sat through Jack and Jill.
Oh my god.
I am sorry.
I'm the, I'm not a hero. I'm not the hero everything action needs, but I'm the one it deserves. Because I sat through Jack and Jill, and you know what? It wasn't terrible. Now hear me out. There are, when I say there's a ton of cameos in this movie, I mean everyone from Johnny Depp to Billy Blanks of Tybo fame.
Yep. Well, it's like, there's like every major like commercial shill guy in like one scene.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the fucking ShamWow guy is in this movie.
Yeah. And Jared
as the ShamWow guy. Jared from Subway. Fucking, I said Johnny Depp already, but it's like everyone but Rob Schneider is in this movie. And they even make a Rob Schneider joke. They make a joke about Rob Schneider. They're like, oh, nobody likes that guy. And then Adam Sandler's like, I like that guy.
But he won't put him in his movie? Like, was Rob Schneider in the movie?
No, I think Rob Schneider was, like, on a coke binge or something and, like, couldn't do the movie.
You're shooting Rob right now.
Yeah. Other than Rob Schneider and Carl Weathers, it was a Happy Madison homecoming. Like, anyone who's ever been in a Happy Madison movie, minus John Turturro, Carl Weathers, and Rob Schneider, were basically, you know, in this movie. And overall, it was bad, but not terrible. Like, it makes fun of itself a lot, which is kind of nice. I would recommend it to anyone who's ever seen or laughed at Al Pacino, because he's basically a massive joke throughout the entire movie.
Seen A Scent of a Woman?
Hoo-wah! I would
it's almost worth watching it just to see, like, how insane Al Pacino is.
Yeah, oh, he's nuts.
It's like a train. It's like a train wreck.
It really is. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
And like the fucking the Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Oh my god, the Dunkachino commercial he does. Like I can't believe it. And it's funny because they don't take themselves too seriously. Like they make fun of their own movie, because he says, you know, they're kind of breaking the fourth wall here. You know, he says, Al Pacino says to Adam Sandler's character at the end of the movie when he shows him the Dunkachino commercial after it finishes shooting. He goes, no one can ever see this. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? It's great. He goes, no, you have to burn this. This is terrible and no one should see it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I see what they did here.
Oh, Al Pacino.
Are you sure? Was there like he looked at the screen and like winked at you?
He might as well have. Like, he might as well have. But, you know, like I said, I can't really recommend it as a good movie, but it's good for a few laughs.
If you're drunk.
Oh, yeah, I was pretty hammered. There are some good cameos. Al Pacino, psychopath, loving it. If I had kids and I had to watch a kids movie, I would sit through this. And I kind of get why they make movies like this and Zookeeper. So, well done. Yo,
you have to go read the Armand White review for Jack and Jill, where he compares it to like he calls it like better than Descendants, and he calls it like a revelation in Jewish culture and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jewish stuff happening in that movie. Oh, by the way, not that he would ever fucking hear me say this, but major props to Nick Swardson. Because everything that he's in, he fucking steals because he's hilarious. Even potentially Bucky Larson, childhood star or whatever it is.
Did you see that movie, Joe?
No, but it's in my queue, and I will hopefully have a review for it next week or the week after.
Ooh.
Oh, man. No, you should watch Just Go With It, and then you can have you can figure out the definitive Adam Sandler movie from last year.
I did watch Just Go With It, actually.
Which one is better?
I would say Just Go With It is better, but Jack and Jill is the definitive Adam Sandler movie because he has now crossed into the elite Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence threshold, where he himself plays more than one character in the movie, and the total crux of the movie is based upon him playing two characters. In a sense, there's a point in the movie where Adam Sandler's character... boy Adam Sandler pretends to be girl Adam Sandler by dressing up as girl Adam Sandler. So essentially, it creates a third Adam Sandler personality. Chris, you follow the Clone Wars.
Oh my
god. You get what I mean.
I mean,
he makes like an Earth 2 Adam Sandler girl. It's really.
Wait. They actually have like a third one? There's a spawn?
No. Because the boy Adam Sandler dresses up like the girl Adam Sandler, but the girl Adam Sandler still exists. She's like the fucking Ben Reilly Spider-Man. Like, it's really weird.
He tries
to trick Al Pacino into thinking that he's
his sister, right?
Yeah.
No, I thought, like, you mentioned there's, like, this weird scene where
there's
they have
no, like,
sex, and then they have, like, a third Adam Sandler. Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, sexual tension. It's kind of weird.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought that would happen, because, I mean, like, that would be the greatest dark humor comedy of this year. Just like, wait a minute, two identical twins hook up, and they have sex and have, like, a third baby that looks like them?
And they have a Bat Boy or a Dora the Explorer-looking child.
Yeah.
With, like, Adam Sandler's head, but, like, a tiny body? Holy shit.
It's like a goat's body with Adam Sandler's head.
I'd watch it. I'd fucking watch Jack and Jill if that happens. It's, like, the disgusting premise, but, like, that's fucked up. I'll watch that.
Yeah, I'll watch the fuck out of that. Jack and Jill. Wow. I saw it. I can't unsee it. And no, I'm not getting paid for this shit, so this was out of devotion.
They gotta do, like, how does this get made? Has to do an episode about Jack and Jill.
I'm sure it will absolutely happen.
They actually speaking of Al Pacino, just did 88 minutes this week.
Oh, God, what a terrible movie.
Nobody wants to know how that was made.
Oh, boy. Between that and, oh, God, he's just had so many stinkers.
Righteous Kill?
Yeah, Righteous Kill was pretty terrible. I don't know who kidnapped who, but Righteous Kill was a fucking ransom movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sort of movie where he called Robert De Niro at, like, 3 in the morning and was like, Bobby, they have my daughter. We have to make a film, Bobby.
They got pictures of me.
Yeah, basically. And I'm doing unsatiable things with a donkey. Oh, and the last thing I saw was G4 tweeted this today, and it was absolutely hilarious. The Batman and Robin the musical.
Oh, yeah. It's on the Facebook group for us.
Yeah. So if you have not seen that, definitely make your way to our Facebook webs group and have some lulls.
Batman.
You son of a bitch. Good shit, man. Good shit.
All right.
How about you, Zach? What have you been watching this past week?
A bunch of stuff.
Cool.
I'll start off with TV. I saw the first episodes of Awake, which is the new Jason Isaacs NBC show.
Yeah, I know. I was just waiting for an explanation.
It's actually pretty good so far.
You liked The River too, right?
I don't like The River. I'm like invested in The River now, so I got like just.
I know. See it through to the end.
Yeah.
This man can commit, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard they faced off against zombies or something.
They
discovered like a jungle outpost full of zombies.
Good.
So yeah, I don't know. That'll probably be canceled, but there's only a couple episodes left.
One can only hope.
But anyway, Awake, pretty interesting concept, because you have Jason Isaacs as a LAPD detective, and he and his wife and his son get into a car accident, and then he starts switching between two different realities. Like, in one reality, like, his son died in the accident, and in the other reality, his wife died in the accident. And then he also has, in, like, different realities, his, like, different partners and different, like, cases he's trying to solve. But then, things from, like, one reality would, like, try to, like, will, like, tie into, like, the case from the other reality. So, like, he gets clues from one and, like, uses in the other one. And he's also, like, talking with, like, two different psychiatrists. And the cool thing is, like, the psychiatrists, they both make, like, awesome points about, like, how their reality is the true, like, the actual reality. The other one's a dream. Because, like, that's a good point. And then, like, they could cut back to the other psychiatrist, like, that's also a good point.
See, like, the premise seems cool, like, for a movie, but for a TV show, it's like, eventually, like, somebody's gotta give the story of the two different dimensions.
I don't know if, there's, like, the crossover stuff happening, but then I'm kind of a little bit worried, because it seems like they're trying to do, like, this, like, it seems like there's, like, a plot in, like, one of the universes where, like, the accident wasn't an accident, and there's, like, shady people involved in it.
Okay. It could be, like, a nice... It's hard for NBC to have, like, a good show that isn't, like...
A comedy.
Like, I think what the last, like, comedy was, and it was like,
Community.
Is Whitney still on?
It's like Banished, it's like Banished, like, Wednesdays.
But the thing I don't think about Jason Isaac is that, like, his character, it's like, the psychiatrist is like, one's like an old woman, one's like a Chinese dude.
Yeah.
It's like, what choices did he make where it's just like, it's like his subconscious is coming through to, like, translate certain things. Like, one universe, he's a racist, the other one, he's not. Well, I think, honestly, like, things like that, that'd be awesome.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's the same person. It's just like, everything else surrounding him is different. And he wears rubber bands to, like, make sure, like, different color rubber bands, make sure, like, he knows which reality he's in.
This is definitely only, like, an Inception kind of thing, where they saw Christopher Nolan's work, and they're like, oh, let's try to, like, steal a few ideas from it.
Yeah, sort of.
It's like, what's your real reality? Does it matter if, like, your reality isn't real at all?
Yeah. It's also, not... if you're a fan of, like, crime, like, cop procedural shows, you get 2 cases a week, which is fun if you're into that.
If you're a fan of, like, the CSI format of solving cases.
It's also, but it's like, since there's, like, 2 cases, you just get, like, they cut out, like, all the fat of the investigation. It's just like, important clue, catch the guy. And they do that for, like, both of them. There's not a lot of, like, running around and, like, getting dead ends.
Interrogations.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool show. I could probably keep watching it. And then for movies... I got a bunch of Redbox, they had their 2 billionth, you get a free movie code, and they also got, like, they sent out their free code for March, so I had already seen pretty much, like, all the major movies that Redbox had, so I had to, like, go digging into, like, the depths of Redbox. So I got, Flypaper, which is a bank heist comedy that came out last year. I don't know if it had theatrical or not, but it definitely came out, like, direct to DVD, maybe. And it's got Patrick Dempsey and Ashley Judd in it. And the premise is that there's, like, a bank robbery going on, but there's 2 different crews trying to hit the same bank. There's a pair of rednecks who are trying to, like, rob the ATMs, like, blowing them up. And then there's, like, a trio of, like, super high-tech, like, vault guys after the vault. So, like, Patrick Dempsey's like, why don't you guys just, like, rob the same bank, because you guys are going after different things, so why don't you just, like, it'll work, probably. So that's just, like, both crews try to, like, rob the same bank, and then, like, Patrick Dempsey, he's sort of, like, monk, or, like, because he has, like, OCD, apparently, or something, and he's, like, off his meds, like, throughout the movie, he gets, like, more and more, like, neurotic and, like, hyper.
So he's like the Hulk, the anger he gets, the stronger he gets.
Kind of.
The less meds he has, the more neurotic he gets.
Yeah, and also, like, the more observant he gets, apparently, because he starts, like, trying to, like, figure out, because there's, like, a guy at the beginning of the heist that got shot, so they're, like, trying to figure, like, who the shooter was. And then there's, like, a bunch of, like, twists about, like, is there, like, a third person, like, at the bank, trying to, like, rob the bank, or, like, trying to mess up both of the heists, and then, like, is there a mole in, like, the hostages and stuff? It reminded me of, like, a little bit of, like, Clue, the movie, kind of, where it just, like, kept ramping up and, like, getting more, crazy.
I didn't get that vibe from the trailer. I just remember, like, Ashley Judd, what are you doing in this movie?
Yeah, and because there's also, like, a lot of, like, comedic, like, supporting people. There's, like, Rob Hubel and Jeffrey Tambor and Tim Blake Nelson. So I was surprised by, like, there's a lot of, like, clever humor in it. It's pretty fun. So it was a surprise. A pleasant surprise. But then the other one that I rented was a... definitely directed DVD for a reason, because it was terrible. It was 13. Which...
Oh, boy.
Which is the Jason Statham, Mickey Rourke, Russian Roulette...
Oh, boy.
My God, is that movie awful. I guess, apparently it's, like, a remake of, like, a Russian movie by the director of the Russian movie.
So it's a mulligan.
Yeah, kind of.
Hmm.
And, like, it's got, like, it's, so, yeah, Jason Statham, Mickey Rourke, Ray Winstone. Who else is in it? Michael Shannon.
Are these guys, like, kidnapped? I feel like... kidnap and act! Go! Act!
I suspect, like, Jason Statham and Mickey Rourke might have been, like, drunk on the set of Expendables and, like, wandered on the set of this movie.
I could see that. I could see Mickey Rourke, like, ugh, am I, like, come to this back alley and huff paint with me?
like, super hungover, just like, hey, where's Stallone?
The bridge, it's too much.
I don't know. This gun's probably the same movie. I don't know. Just keep going. And the plot is that, like, there's, like, this kid in Ohio who looks like the poor man's Bill Hader.
Ah.
And his dad is in the hospital, and, like, family can't afford the medical bills, so he, like, I don't know if, like, the family rents these apart, like, a duplex or something to these people, or, like, he just, like, works as, you know, electrician for this place, but he goes to this building, and, like, he overhears one of the tenants there. He gets, like, an envelope, and he hears him, like, talking about, like, how he's gonna make a lot of money in a couple days, maybe. He's actually talking to Forrest Griffin, of all people.
Wait, like the
MMA
fighter,
yeah.
Forrest Griffin?
Yeah,
he mainly shows up for like 30 seconds and just like wanders off.
I hate Forrest Griffin. I do.
So yeah, so this guy who got there. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was like, why? Why do you hate Forrest Griffin?
Joe.
Hey, you guys hear me? I'm here.
Yeah.
I was okay, like, sorry about that. I got accepted. No, I heard you. I hate Forrest Griffin. I don't hate him. I just dislike Forrest Griffin because I think he tries too hard to be funny and usually gets the shit kicked out of him. And his performance against Anderson Silva when he got... I mean, true, it was against Anderson Silva. But it was just disgusting. It was laughable. And then to run out of the cage like that, I kind of lost some respect for him. I don't know. It's just like every time he talks, I seem to like him less.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe if he spent less time trying to write books and be a stand-up comic, he might have a belt around his waist.
Hey, he told me how to survive the apocalypse.
No. No, a funny author told you how to survive the apocalypse. Forrest Griffin just put his face on the cover.
So anyway,
yeah, Zach. Yeah, back to the weirdest Ohio gathering.
Yeah. So the guy got the envelope. Like, I guess he needs to, like, calm down or something. So he does like an entire needle of heroin, and overdoses. Surprisingly. So the kid steals the envelope and like reads. There's like these weird instructions about like going to New York City and like going to a store, like a locker, and getting a key. So like he doesn't know what the hell any of this is. So he was like, there's a lot of money involved. So I'm just gonna go check this out. And then, like, after he does, like, the 50 steps involved in getting to, like, this Russian roulette tournament, like, it's, like, getting into, the Mortal Kombat tournament is, like, less complicated than getting into this Russian roulette tournament. Because you have to take, like, multiple trains, multiple cars, you gotta flash symbols at people, you gotta get, like...
Did this kid figure out how to get there? Because it seems like,
The letter had, like, instructions, like, go to New York City and open this locker and you'll get more further instructions. But anyway, okay. He ends up... In the tournament, and it's like there's like 13 competitors, I guess. Or no, there's like a bunch of, I think it's like 20 or something, but he's number 13, hence the title. And it's like, it's sort of like no Russian roulette tournament you've ever seen in any movie, because like everyone, all the guys stand around in a circle and point their guns at the back of the head of the other guy in front of them, and like when a light bulb comes off, they gotta shoot their bolt, the gun. And whoever's left standing is like goes on the next round.
At least it's a different take on Russian roulette.
I guess you can have, like, because it would take too long to have, like, one-on-ones or whatever.
I feel like it's, like Final Jeopardy of Russian roulette.
It's extreme Russian roulette. They amped it up. And, like, Michael Shannon is, like, the guy running the entire tournament, and all he does is, like, yell at people, like, hold your guns above your heads! Spin them! Spin them!
Where is the whiskey?
Basically. And then Jason Statham is, like, dressed like a 1920s gangster, and, like, he's, like, sponsoring Ray Winstone, who's, like, his brother, who's in a mental institution. Because it's like one of those weird things where, like, it's just, like it's a sport where, like, these bunch of, like, white guys got bored, like, betting on horses or something, and, like, started, like, making up this, like, death sport to bet on.
Yeah, you get bored when you're rich, I guess.
Yeah.
Look at Bruce Wayne.
And so yeah, Jason Statham, like, he's like trying to like kick like people up on Ray Winstone, and there's also like I forget who's sponsoring Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke's like he got like abducted from like a Mexican jail and like put into this tournament. So yeah, eventually gets down to like the kid versus Ray Winstone. Like I don't know, if I really understand like how this tournament works, but like when they get down to like five people, like the guy's sponsoring the guys. Pick like these like aluminum foil red balls, and whoever gets like two black balls, their guys fight in the final duel, and everyone else can go home with money. So like Mickey Rourke just
so,
like, gets like
so the rules are just insane, basically.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
That's pretty cool in a really weird way.
So like Mickey Rourke just like gets out scot free with like money. Well, actually 50 Cent almost tries to kill him, but
50 Cent's in the movie too.
Yes.
Did you mention that in the beginning?
I don't think
I totally missed that. Yeah, you missed that. Like, this fucking movie sounds awesome. It sounds like it kidnapped a whole caravan of celebrities.
He did.
This is definitely should be like a final, like, your career's on the line kind of thing, where it's like you get a bunch of ex-porn stars and a bunch of ex-like fitness people or whatever, and then you just like put them in a room like, all right.
Tony Little.
Yeah, just like kill. Like, the other person, whoever wins, like gets back the glorious fame. I would watch that. It'd be fucked
up. I'd watch the shit out of that
reality show.
Yeah, some really fucked up reality show like that.
Russian Roulette, the show.
Celebrity Russian Roulette.
Oh my god, yes. So the kid, if you couldn't guess, wins the tournament, and then
spoiler.
Yeah. So he gets, like, enough money, like, he sends about, like, half, he gets, like, a million or something, like, million, $1.8 million or something, some, like, really random amount, and, like, sends half of it home to his family, and then he's on his way home, and Jason Statham follows him, because he's all pissed off because, like, he killed his brother. So, on the train home, Jason Statham fucking kills the kid, takes the money, and just, and, like, gets away scot-free. So I was like, is the lesson here, don't fuck with Statham?
So, it's not even, like, a conventional, like, closure to a story. Just like, oh, the rich guy whose brother died in the tournament gets revenge at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have that movie based on Jason Statham's, like, perspective where...
I know.
He's, like, filthy rich, and then he doesn't watch his brother's die, and he's like, oh,
I don't
vengeance.
Know if, I don't know if he's filthy rich, because but he's, like, just, like, a con artist sort of guy.
Ah.
And he was, like... His brother was, like, the big favorite because the kid was, like, had no experience in Russian roulette. Which is where keeps saying, like, oh, man, Ray Winstone, he's much more experienced than this kid. It's like, what experience do you need to be in Russian roulette? If you don't die, you have experience.
I don't know. It's pretty much a... It's either you live or you die kind of game.
So. Yeah. There's not a lot of skill involved. I guess.
Well, you watched it, so.
Yeah, I would not recommend anyone else watch it, unless you're like the most hardcore of hardcore Jason Statham fans or something.
And he probably doesn't show up until like halfway through the movie, doesn't he?
He's actually in it from like kind of the beginning. I thought like it was gonna be like where a movie where like, they like advertise like Jason Statham and Mickey Rourke in it, and like you're in it for like 2 seconds, or for like one scene. Actually, in it for like I'd say most of the middle, like they're both in it. Mickey Rourke even gets, they even, like, flashback to, like, how Mickey Rourke got in, like, Mexican jail and shit.
Oh, boy. That's what we need more, is, like, Baxter and Mickey Rourke's characters.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he'll show up in the sequel, the 13.
13 too.
That's 15.
Even more Russian roulette. So, yeah, so that's, I watched that. And then, last movie I watched, I actually watched it today, was, John Carter.
Oh my god.
the epic box office bomb of the weekend.
You mean the movie we just keep making fun of constantly?
Mm-hmm. What the fuck is a John Carter?
Yeah. We put a curse on John Carter. We officially cursed that movie.
I think everyone
like,
did.
Oh man.
Everyone's just like willing it to fail.
It tried so hard not to in the marketing, and then that cost like the company even more money. The
marketing was completely awful. Because they didn't explain anything of what was happening. They're just like, John Carter, he can jump high.
Well, the first one where it's like,
they explain that, like, it's 18-something-something.
I guess.
Or, they're like, oh, your uncle's missing, your Uncle John, and then they go back to show him he's on a planet.
Yeah.
And stuff.
But then, like, the newer ones where it's like, before Star Wars, before Avatar.
Yeah, that
there
really
was
hurts
John
it.
Carter. Like, no one cares about John, like, no one knows who John Carter is or cares about who John Carter is. Except for, like, old sci-fi fans.
I mean, if you're a fan of, like, Flash Gordon, like, the original Flash Gordon.
I get, yeah. It's definitely
yeah,
in
like
the,
that.
Is he related to that Buck Rogers boy?
I think they all come from John Carter, though.
What the fuck, like, ever, dude.
I get that, but that's like saying, like, Shakespeare movies, like, every kind of drama or whatever.
Batman comes from the Tempest.
Technically, Batman comes from the Shadow.
Yeah.
Who comes from?
The Phantom?
Who comes from?
Go deeper! Deeper!
I'm trying to think of a cowboy.
None steal Jose Raider.
I don't think Bon Jovi goes back.
No, he doesn't. Like
John Bon Jovi.
Damn, I was trying to throw you off the trail, but Zach wins, because Bon Jovi is the answer to everything.
Bon Jovi is Batman.
Oh my god, in a perfect world. With the coiffed out hairdo. Oh, perfect.
So John Carter. I saw it in 3D. And 3D is pretty good. Special effects are pretty, you could like definitely tell, like, every cent of the money is up there on the screen. All $250 million of it.
All burn.
Because everything
burn and God.
Yeah. Well, everything looks great. Like, all the crazy spaceships and alien creatures and, like, all the motion, like, the Tharks, who are, like, the giant green forearm guys. They do, like, the crazy Avatar motion capture for them, so it's, like, they have, like, all, like, facial expressions, and William Dafoe is one of them.
William Dafoe's in this movie?
Yeah, he's, like, the main, like, green guy.
Spider-Man.
I thought Mark Strong was the main bad guy.
No, well, William Dafoe's, like, one of the, he's, like, allies of John Carter.
Oh.
The main problem is there's just, like, so much fucking, like, mythology and politics and stuff that apparently, I'm sure, like, over, like, hundreds and hundreds of pages they explained it. But, like, pretty much every scene is not action. People are just, like, trying to, like, explain things that are happening or, like, explain, like, who people are and, like, what is going on. Because there's, like, you got the Tharks, who are, like, the green Martians. You have, like, the red Martians. And there's two different tribes of red Martians fighting each other. And there's, like, a ninth ray. It's a weapon of, or, like, power source of some kind. There's also these, like, Mark Strong's people who are, like, the Thurn, who are, like, they're, like, watchers or observers or something. They're, like, controlling, like, manipulating the bad guys. And, like, they can change shape. And they're on Earth. They're, like, also on Earth for some reason, which is, like, how John Carter got to Mars. Is, like, he, like, shot one of the Thurn guys and stole the alien, like, ended up on Mars. So it's just, like, so much crap they're trying to, like, explain or, and, like, that you don't even care. Like, it's just, like,
I guess, you know what it reminds me of a lot?
It reminds me of Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh.
Where it's just, like,
but, like,
so much.
But that didn't have a mythos. It kind of did, but it didn't, it wasn't necessary, and it was just, like, pretty cool, though.
It's, like, they try to explain, like, there's, like, so, like, the action was good in Chronicles of Riddick, but there's, like, so much, like, bullshit, or, like, it's so much, like, stuff going on. Like, so, like different characters and different, like, plots going on. Like, there's, like, probably three or four plots going on in John Carter. And, like, and the main plot is, like, there's, like, nothing happens in the main plot. They just, like, wander around different places. There's, like, no stakes or, like, no motivation or anything. They're just, like, wandering around for no reason.
Cool.
But, yeah, so, oh, there's. I mean, the action's pretty. The action's cool. There's a lot of cool, flying ship battles, like ship battles, or like sort of like pirate battles, but like in like these giant like insect ships. And there's a lot of, like some like big battles between like the aliens and everything, like crazy alien creatures and stuff.
Yeah, but think about that is that big battles, like you gotta have some like investment into why it's happening. I feel like. There's so much shit going on that you just don't care. You know, like, Like, oh, fight, whatever. Yeah, like, it's like, oh, another epic fight.
Basic plot is, like, the bad guy has, like, this, weapon, this, like, ray weapon that he's, like, using to, like, try to conquer Mars. But, like, they don't even, like, get to him until, like, last half hour of the movie. Like, Junkyard's just, like, wandering around, like, trying to, like, figure out, like, who these, like, the Mark Strong people are. And, like, also, like, he gets, like, captured by the green guys for, like, most, like, a half the movie. And, like, it's, like he's, like, helping them for a little bit. And then, like, basically, like, he only gets, like, super involved with the bad guy when, like, the bad guy, like, is, like, forcing the princess. Like,
yeah, there's, like, a princess thrown into the mix, too.
Yeah, like, he's, like, forcing her to marry him to, like, stop the war between the two, human tribes on Mars. So it's, like, Junkyard's like, oh, no. He's like, steal my woman.
That I just met.
Yeah.
Also, have you seen the artwork of, like, the original John Carter stuff from, like...
Yeah.
Like, the different revisions? It's, like, it looks like badass fantasy stuff from, like, the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, they took, like, a shitload of drugs and then just, like, drew barely clothed women and, like,
oh, well, it's probably, like,
monsters.
Didn't, I think Frank Frazetta did a lot
so
of
so it's heavy metal?
Yeah.
It looks like it, man. It looks really, like, wow. And then you see, like, this version and you're just like, what?
Well, I think the book, like, the book is basically, like, Conan in space, basically.
Nice. How could it go wrong?
So I looked at that and it's like, then hearing this, I'm just like, oh, wow, they try to cram, like, everything and then PG it, so...
Yeah, well, like, the original book is, like, everyone's pretty much naked and then, like, there's, like, blood everywhere and everything. So, like, John Carter described it, like, this chick was naked and covered in blood.
Covered in my jizz.
Yeah. I was banging her.
Because we had sex.
I was banging her while I cut some dude's head off.
Some alien dude.
Yeah.
Here's a rule. If Mark Strong is playing an alien... That's usually the movie's gonna go down, like, a downward spiral. Thick Green Lantern. Like, he played an alien in that one, so...
Well, he was only in it for, like, 5 minutes, rule. So...
Still, he was in it, and an alien.
Yeah.
He's got another movie to do that if he's an alien, Third Strike. That's a problem. No, wait. Wait, well, no, he was in Sunshine as, like, the blur guy, but he was still, like, not an alien.
Oh, like the super burned guy at the end?
The blurry guy, because he was so close to the sun.
I thought just, like, all his skin burned off and he just turned, like, insane.
No, it's like he was so close to the sun that it's like some of his atoms were faster than the rest of them, so he was a blur. They explained it really fast.
Doesn't that movie fell apart, basically?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like they introduced monster guy.
We have a monster on the ship? Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then they, Captain America, like, a frozen liquid nitrogen for no reason and stuff.
And the Scarecrow had to explode the cargo bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Mark Strong, stick to, like, roles where he's either, like, a French mercenary.
Evil,
like,
evil British guy.
Evil European dude.
Yeah.
Don't be some space alien.
Basically, anything that Sean Bean would do, like, that's what basically Mark Strong should be. Because Mark Strong is basically new Sean Bean.
Yeah, but, like, he plays a villain, but, like, he usually lives till the end of the plot.
Yeah.
Sean Bean usually now just gets killed halfway through whatever he's in.
Well, he's not the bad guy usually, yeah. When he's the bad guy, he usually gets, like, toward the end.
But he's a bad guy. You're supposed to get killed.
Yeah,
but,
like, in, like, the final battle.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I've been watching. Why don't we get into some news from this past week?
Fucking do it.
Yeah. So, we got news earlier this week that producers are working on a Braveheart sort of inspired TV show called Wallace. They said it's going to be sort of Game of Thrones Spartacus inspired. Lots of violence and sex, apparently. Then.
Well, it depends on what channel it's on.
I'm pretty sure that they're trying to shop to, like, a premium channel.
Hope it's Encore. Next to Boss.
Encore. Cinemax.
I can watch Boss and Wallace, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I could be so lucky.
it's based on the life of William Wallace, as made famous by Mel Gibson.
Yay! Relevant to our Irish culture.
Yeah.
Or Scottish. Was it Scottish or Irish?
Scottish.
I remember, like, they had William Wallace and what's that Spike show?
Oh, my God. Deadliest Warrior.
Deadliest Warrior.
Was he fighting, like, Genghis Khan or something?
I think he lost.
Yeah, I think he did, too, yeah.
But, like, that was, the last time William Wallace was, like, mentioned outside of, like, a history class.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, when it's, not, like, one of the five repeats of when it's on TNT over the weekend. Unless you're, like, Braveheart Gladiator double feature. Historical epic. So, yeah. So,
well, it is St. Paddy's Day, so.
Oh, don't you know it, Boyle?
He's not Scott. He's not Irish, though. He's Scottish.
Whatever. That day, everyone's
same Scott. Thing, boy. Now he sounds Jamaican.
Yeah, man. William Wallace tried to free England. So, anyway, other news. We got our first look at the upcoming Lone Ranger. Speaking of, I think, Disney's doing it. They're... John Carter failed, so they're gonna try to, like, their new Pirates of the Caribbean. They're still looking for it. I think they're hoping Lone Ranger's gonna be that. And they got Gore Verbinski directing. So we got our first look at what Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp are gonna look like as the Lone Ranger Tonto. And what you guys think?
I think it's hard to fuck up. So
yeah. Like, cowboy with a mask, and then Native American.
And then an engine, yeah. So I think, I don't know, it doesn't look bad. I mean, it's Disney, there'll be money in it. I'm sure it won't be bad, I'll put it that way, but I'm not, like, doing backflips over it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just glad to see that they didn't make it, like, in space, or that he was, like, a fucking Who, or, like, a Grinch, or some weird twist, or, like...
Yeah.
That it's a girl, like, something crazy.
Hopefully it's just, like, classic Western, but with, like, sort of, Prince of Caribbean-style, like, action sequences and stuff, like, crazy action sequences.
That would be nice. That would be most good.
Mm-hmm. Actually, going back to Judd Carter for a second, like, probably the coolest part of the movie was, like, the Western, the beginning and ending of this movie. Because you had, like, John Carter, like, trying to, like, escape from Bryan Cranston. he's trying to find the gold mine, because, like, running into, like, Bryan Cranston getting arrested.
Yay.
Which is funny. There's actually some pretty, like, great humor moments in John Carter. There's actually sort of, like, an equilibrium, sort of, like the epic sword fight at the end of Equilibrium moment. That wasn't epic at all.
Well, those are, like, really... You know, like, the NN, where, like, it's just a weird handshake thing?
The where you think it's going to be a epic sword fight between two people, then it ends up over in, like, 2 seconds.
Ah, that's not good.
That is, like, one of the funniest things ever. So okay, great. Like... It's because, like, you didn't expect it at all. You're like, oh, man... Epic battle coming up, and it's like, what?
Is it Mark Strong succumbing to the powers of yellow?
No.
Oh.
It's in the arena part that you see from the trailers. Anyway, moving on to other news. So apparently, there's going to be a movie based on one of the crazy misadventures of Nicolas Cage's life, where his copy of Action Comics number one? Yeah, Action Comics number one was stolen, and then it ended up somehow in, like, a storage locker, and some guy found it and got it back to Nicolas Cage, but, yeah, some guy broke into Nicolas Cage's house, stole his comic, and then it's, like, ended up in, like, limbo for, like, years.
And how does Nicolas Cage know that was his comic? Was it, like, a barcode on it?
Well, I don't know, it's probably, like, a UPC, maybe, or something. There's not a lot of Action Comics number one, lying around.
Nope.
So. Right, but I mean, just like how ballsy is Nicolas Cage? Like, yeah, that's my comic. Hey, little boy, that's my comic. Give me that back. It's like no one's gonna believe Nicolas Cage. It's like robbing a little boy of his action
Action Comic number one.
There's a map on the back of that Action Comics number one. So yeah, I guess so. Tom Lennon and Robert Ben Grant of Ready or Another One apparently wrote a script for this movie. Huh. It's gonna be a highly fictionalized comedic take on this like heist, I guess.
Excellent.
But the crazy thing is that Nicolas Cage is not interested in playing Nicolas Cage.
What? He's interested in everything.
Apparently not this.
That's insane. It's a movie based on his own experience, and it's just like, yeah. Nope. Not insane enough for me.
I already lived it.
I already know the story. Give me something different.
Huh.
See, I would love to be his agent, where it's just like, no, Nick, you should take this. This is about you. This is a good thing.
I'm going to be a Bangkok Dangerous 2 instead.
I come back as a zombie.
Right, I was saying, Chris Klein should be Nicolas Cage. And you've seen his amazing work in Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh my god, he could do it.
I know.
The more I think about it, now that enough time has passed.
He was basically doing Nicolas Cage impression that entire movie. He walks through the raindrops.
Oh god, I hate that movie.
That compilation of like every line that he says is awesome on YouTube though.
Ever seen the whole movie? It's
yeah, it's horrible.
I own it.
Nothing is as good as the Street Fighter, the Van Damme version.
And who wants to go with me?
We have to do a commentary on that movie.
Yeah, man.
The invisible boat would not be invisible.
The one boat that they save up for whatever and has one mission and it fucks up halfway through it.
Yeah. And like Van Damme like specifically wanted like a TV with a VCR installed in it so he could watch like his own movies.
I don't even know what device he used to put it. He had like a little mini Laserdisc thing.
Yeah, it was like a mini disc tape.
It was a Sega Saturn.
It was like an 8-track. It was like one of those weird like Sony 8-tracks and then tried to bring an 8-track. So, yeah, so Nicolas Cage, Superman comic heist movie coming soon, baby.
Watch the fuck out of that.
And so, other news, Joss Whedon was talking about The Avengers recently, because that movie's coming up pretty soon.
I think he did something with that, or something?
Yeah, I think he did. He was, like, with a script or something, maybe? I don't know. So, anyway, so he was in an interview somewhere, and he said that he mentioned that the villains on the movie are not going to be Skrull or Skrull or Kree, which basically that was like basically the internet speculation for like the entire time. Like basically since we saw the first trailer and like there was like alien ships going on and stuff, everyone was like, "Oh, the Skrull."
Yeah.
So like I don't know who the hell these like the alien ships are then.
Nah. Who knows? They can just make... They can pull something out of Marvel's, like, library of absurd villains.
Space Nazis.
From the moon.
Yeah.
It could be Transformers, for all I care. Transformers. Technically, because Transformers is like, part of Marvel, so they can do that.
Not anymore.
But they won't, because they're a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, not anymore now.
They used to have the license.
See, I think we're probably the only three people that would actually want to see an Ultimate Showdown movie. You know? So yes. I say bring on fucking Avengers and Transformers versus the Skrulls and Decepticons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you think about it, doesn't Disney own Transformers because of Michael Bay?
No.
So
Disney owns everything, dude.
DreamWorks is, I think DreamWorks, yeah, DreamWorks is, owns Transformers.
What?
Movies. It's like,
well, actually,
it's like a joint, it's like a joint venture between DreamWorks and Hasbro.
Well, because if you think about it, doesn't Disney also own Marvel? So
yeah, but Transformers are not.
Not Marvel. So, anymore.
Like
but.
Hasbro has like the movies and toys, and like I think IDW owns the comic rights now.
Oh. Great.
So
damn it. Damn logistics about getting this ultimate battle going.
They should do Civil War or something. Or Planet Hulk. Or World War Hulk.
Ah, that would be cool.
They should do, World War Hulk animated movie. Because they already did Planet Hulk animated.
Yeah.
Whoa. I'm sure they will. Listen, if they're doing a Dark Knight Returns animated movie, I'm pretty sure they'll do anything on the Marvel end to compete with that, so... Maximum Carnage, someone do it.
Yeah. Clone Saga.
Show me some blood, bitch. Actually, if you wanted to, if they really had any balls, they'd do Welcome Back, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a really gritty Daredevil story, like a Blind or even Yellow. That'd be kind of cool. Or Daredevil, Ninja Fighter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Daredevil the beginning of
Frank Miller's descent into madness.
Is that the one where like he brought back Elektra?
I believe it is. But all I know is that motherfucker got away with calling it Daredevil Ninja Fighter.
They should do a Batman and Robin anime movie. Frank Miller's Batman and Robin.
That'd be great. It'd be like an hour and 10 minutes of like gay sex, and then a 10-minute beating.
And it's like...
And Batman would, like, put on his outfit and be like, I'm going out.
I'm the goddamn Batman!
Robin would just be laying there crying. He didn't pull out.
Oh, man.
That would be that.
So crazy. So, moving on to last bit of news from earlier this week. Apparently, someone is making a new Garbage Pail Kids movie.
And the world weeps.
So end of the world confirmed. The first movie is, like, one of the most fucked up things man has ever created.
Like, even for the time period, it's so hard to gauge it. It's like, oh, you know, some movies are like, oh, it's an 80s movie. They didn't know any better. Or like, oh, it's a 70s movie. They're experimenting. Like, this is a movie where some people had an idea, and they just, like, had a bad, bad reaction.
They got as high as they could possibly be, and they were like, found a bunch of, like, Garbage Pail Kids in a shoebox, and they're like, dude, we should make a movie about this. And weren't the Garbage Pail Kids, like, aliens or something?
I think in the movie they were, yeah, but I remember Garbage Pail Kids were, like, trading cards first.
Yeah, there's no plot. It's just, like, it was like punny names and disgusting pictures.
Yeah, I didn't mind that, the concept, because I remember like when I was a kid, when I was maybe like 2 or 3, so I'm like talking 90s, and it's like you look at like some older stuff, and like, oh, that was cool, like I don't know what that means, and like to this day, the Garbage Pail Kids don't have like a meaning, except for the movie where like someone tried to connect the dots and like put a story to it.
Yeah. And it's like, why would you make them any like realistic at all? Make, like, the prosthetics, like, realistic at all. You're just, like, inviting nightmares for kids.
Oh, I just remember that they tried to do, like, a, the original movie had, like, an old guy who, like, thought they were beautiful creatures or something. It's like, everyone in life's weird, so it's fine to look like a freak of nature.
Yeah.
And it just turned out to be one of the worst movies, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's watchable for, like, the first time. It's not like I want to watch this again. So, to hear a remake is just like, oh. It's like they want to reenact a train wreck?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the, I don't think there's, like, really any, like, plot details or anything about it.
No, it's just them trying to, I think it's them trying to get back to their homeworld, I think. I've only seen the movie, like, once, and I think I was, like...
I'm trying to think, like, what the new one is going to be about.
It's probably not even, like, written, because there are probably some people just, like, complaining. Like us. Like, oh, God, no. There's enough suffering in the world.
But, so apparently this guy, the guy directing it is named Pez. P-E-S.
Cool.
What's with directors trying to edgy names?
That's always a good sign when, like, your director has, like, one name. Like Chaos or McG or
oh, what did McG do?
Charlie's Angels 1 and 2, Terminal Salvation, and This Means War.
Yes, that's...
And he almost did a goddamn Superman movie, too.
See, and there's at least Chaos is, like, hilarious, because he just sticks to, like, crazy shit. So, see, I wouldn't mind if Chaos did Garbage Pail Kids. I actually wouldn't mind that.
Well, Chaos is only did one... He did Blissey X vs. Sever. That's the only movie he's ever done.
Then who's the guy that did Human Centipede?
Human Centipede?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Another stupid name. Tom Six. Which is not his real name.
Or like, is that like John Five?
Olivia Megaton.
It's Almarkar Norholland. He's from Dutch, so...
He's from
the Dutch.
He's of Dutch descent.
He's
from the Netherlands, so...
Dutch.
But yeah, Tom Six. Like, anyone that's got, like, a really kind of, like, porn star-esque name, like as a director...
We're edgy, because we don't have a normal name.
I hate spelling my name. Like, alright.
You shall address me as Pez...
Like the candy? Yes, like the candy.
It's got an S instead of a C. So yeah, so Garbage Pail Kids movie being inflicted on the world sometime in the near future, maybe. Like, what kid, like, who even remembers Garbage Pail Kids at this point?
It's like an underground joke for, like, bad movies, you know?
Or like the cards, like it was like from the '70s or something, or like early '80s.
Definitely early '80s. That's why I remember seeing like when I go to like toy stores, it's like, oh, we see like behind the counter.
It's like Mars Attacks. So anyway, that's it for news. Unless there's anything else you guys can think of.
Happy Pi Day for the time right now.
We're recording, but not when this goes up, Chris.
True.
It was Pi Day.
It was.
So, why don't we get to the new releases for the week? There's actually a bunch of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Pick of the week is Tintin.
Surprise.
Yeah, it's surprisingly awesome. It's basically like what the fourth Indiana Jones movie should have been.
Sweet.
So I would say, yeah, definitely check it out if you're an Indiana Jones, Steven Spielberg adventure fan. Great animation. Like, I don't know, the weird loopholes of the Oscars should have been, like, nominated for Best Animated Feature, probably. But it wasn't, because, like, the Oscars hate motion capture or something, for some reason.
Or, what's that guy that does every motion capture movie out there? Huh?
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis. Is he in this one too?
Yeah, he is the I can't remember.
The drunkard. Yeah. Really? That was him? I thought it was someone else. I thought it was like Gerard Butler or something.
No, it's him. And then Daniel Craig is the bad guy.
Really?
Yep.
Oh. Okay. Like I wasn't a big fan of Tintin too much, only because he's a weird, relatable character.
Like the comics?
Yeah. Or even the kids show.
Yeah. It's on Netflix, actually, by the way. Tons of, like, crazy, like, action set pieces that they... Because, like, I think it was Steven Spielberg's, like, first animated movies. Just, like, we went balls crazy with it.
Like, it looks nice.
Like, sword fighting cranes and, like, entire town is, like, disintegrating in a flood while they're, like, trying to, like, drive a motorcycle through it and stuff. It's crazy. It actually reminded me a lot of, like, Uncharted a little bit.
It did have that feel to it, especially when it's, like, set in Egypt.
Yeah. A lot of climbing and stuff. So, yeah, that's out. I definitely say check it out if you didn't get the chance to see it when I was in theaters. Also, this weekend, The Descendants, George Clooney, Oscar, heavy hitter. Well, I think only one...
Is there a reason why it's called The Descendants? Is that, like, it's like you meet his parents or something?
I think... Well, I've seen, like, maybe... half of it while just, like, walking in and out of theaters at the movie theater. But I think it's, like, his family is, like, descended from, like, one of the original, like, Hawaiian families. So, like, they're, like, like one of the big plot points is that like he and his family has like this like giant plot of land that they're trying to sell. It's like in like a trust from like the original like royal Hawaiian royal family or something.
Because I'm saying George Clooney, I think Hawaiian automatically.
Yeah. Well, I guess they explain it like it was like some Hawaiian princess that married like a white like settler or something, like a rich British guy.
That makes sense, but like I just didn't know because it was like there was no marketing for the Descendants.
Yeah.
It was just like, go see The Descendants in theaters now. Like, there was no trailer. It was just,
it's probably with some,
go see it.
Probably with some Oscars, so go see it.
Yeah. No, George Clooney. Like, that's all I knew who's in it. I didn't know anyone else is in it.
Got it. It won the Dean from Community an Oscar. Because he co-wrote the script.
Oh. Cool.
Which I think is, like, the only Oscar it won, actually, but...
Well, the guy... that. Anyone from Community is doing side jobs while the show is like picking up, so
it's back. It's back tonight.
I know. Now it's back. Yeah. But the months they were just like sitting around doing nothing.
Parks and Rec is gone though.
What?
Parks and Rec is gone for like 4 weeks now.
Oh. It's like it got canceled. Like, oh no.
No, NBC has no idea what they're doing. But also this week we have My Week with Marilyn, another big Oscar contender.
Yeah.
It's about some British guys, like, couple, like a week or so with Marilyn Monroe.
That Marilyn? Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, my week with Marilyn Manson, like, hell yeah.
Yes.
Just, like, fishing, buying groceries with Marilyn Manson. I'd fucking do that.
It's like Family Guy Marilyn Manson, remember that?
Oh, yeah. It teaches you about,
hey.
About raising your child.
Jeez, Peter, maybe you guys spend more time together. You ever thought about going fishing or something?
You know, the real thing is, he's probably like that in real life. Like, besides the character, he's like, plays, he probably is
most,
a cool
like,
guy.
Most calm, like, nice guy ever.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. I'm just putting out there that he could be.
He's like Andrew WK.
Just parties all the time.
Mm-hmm. So also, we have Happy Feet 2. One of the most unnecessary sequels ever.
What, if you love your dancing penguins?
Apparently no one does now, because it made like a third of the money that the first one made.
Did it?
Yeah. It's a pretty big bomb.
Oh, because I think like Happy Feet tells a very complete story. And
yeah.
Then the sequel was like unnecessary. I didn't even see, like, I didn't finish the first movie, so.
It's one that they're like trapped by like moving glaciers or something, and then like they have like danced their way out of the glacier.
Oh boy. Really putting there to show kids about the wildlife.
And then, like, Matt Damon and Brad Pitt were, like, prawns for some reason. Like, swimming around. Like, they went on off their own, away from the prawn swarm.
Jesus. It's like Ice Age movies.
Yeah.
Ice Age, like, there's like, a plot. They actually do things.
I
think they're making another Ice Age, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Ugh.
Continental Drift or something? I don't know. Ice Age 4, like, Continental Meltdown or something.
I think they survived, like, everything before, like,
they found
modern man shows up, doesn't it?
They,
like, no.
And they found, like, dinosaurs at the center of the Earth and stuff. Because
I think Ice Age...
There was people in the first Ice Age.
No, I meant, like, was the Meltdown the last one?
I think the third one was... last one was the dinosaur one.
Oh, shit. They just, like, skipped something.
I think Ice Age 2 was the Meltdown, and then Ice Age 3 was, like, Dawn of the Dinosaurs or something.
Yes, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, which is weird if you think about the science behind
or something with dinosaurs. Titles. I don't know.
Return?
Yeah.
Return makes sense. Dawn doesn't make any sense.
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Journey 2.
Yeah. It's The Rock. It's like a squirrel. I don't know. So yeah, Sammy B2, though. And then also Melancholia, which is the latest from Lars von Trier.
Is that the one with the planets?
I think that's I think it's gonna be another Earth.
Oh, okay.
Melancholia is like one where like Kirsten Dunst is getting married, but then like the world's gonna end.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking
about.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, I heard that movie is so fucking weird.
I think the planet is named Melancholia that they're on.
No. It's a thing that's coming towards them.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's like the thing, someone named a star, and then it got really fucking close, and then they realize it's coming straight for the Earth, and no one has like an Armageddon Deep Impact plan.
Yeah.
Because I actually heard about the ending, and it's hilarious.
There's no Aerosmith?
No one stops it. It just fucking collides. Yeah. Spoiler alert, no one lives at the end.
Well, it's a large amount of shirt movies. I'm sure everyone just, like, horribly dies.
Yeah.
I saw Kiefer Sutherland in that movie as, like, a crazy, like, wedding planner guy.
Like, it's weird. From what I heard, like, the movie starts out to be this, like, weird, like, depressing character drama, like, character study of, like, how these characters will, like, change throughout their, like, dramatic experience of knowing that the Earth's gonna become, like, dust.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's like, the movie should be over, you know? But it just keeps on going.
It was, like, this weird, like, apocalypse movie.
Yeah. And it's not, like, hectic apocalypse. It's just, it's apocalypse, and people are like, well, I still got laundry to do, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the what-ifs of Armageddon, except not focusing on the astronauts or anything. It just focuses on, like, the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It might be something like an English or film major might enjoy, but for me, like, I don't want to see that movie.
Yeah.
Not even on a drunk, like, dare or anything. Just like, nope.
Have you ever seen the, I think, it's like my favorite anime video of all time, but, like, they did, like, Lars von Trier directs, like, Dutch tourist videos?
Nope. I didn't see that.
I'll send you that. It's, like, so hilarious. It's just, like, the most fucked up, like, I was in a club and I got raped. Come to Deutschland.
Are these like parodies?
Yeah,
these, like,
it's like, it's The Onion.
Okay. Are these like real like things? Like, he's weird, so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he made tourist attraction videos like that.
So, also this week we have Young Adult, which is Charlize Theron, Patton Oswalt, comedy. Oh, dramedy. I guess dramedy.
Dramedy.
From, is it? I'm trying to think. It's not Ivan Reitman, is it?
I've seen the trailer, but
yeah.
I know seeing it because, like, I don't like her character, so.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Oh, Jason Reitman, that's who it is. Ivan Reitman's son. Also did Juno and Up in the Air and Thank You for Smoking.
Those are movies.
Yes. One of them is awesome. I haven't seen one, and the other one is one of the worst things ever made.
Which ones?
Thank You for Smoking is awesome. Juno's I hate it with a passion, and I haven't seen Up in the Air yet.
Oh, see, with the whole, like, I remember, like, 2004 till now, like, drama comedies are, like, hip.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm laughing, but I'm crying. I definitely, if you like to have, like, absurd, realistic situations. Now, people don't watch movies to, like, relive experiences. People watch movies to escape. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be reminded, like, oh, I'm getting old. Oh, fuck, you know? Like,
my life.
Thank you, movie.
My life has no meaning.
My life has no meaning. I'm not as pretty as Charlize Theron. I'll never be Aeon Flux.
So, moving on, we have Three Musketeers is out this week. Which I kind of want to see just to see how awful it is, because I know it's going to be awful.
Like, the trailer for the DVD or Blu-ray, they put so little effort into editing that to make it even look decent. It's just, like, the most clustered images of action things. And I have no idea, there's no connection, you know? It's like, the people in the editing room was like, well, they understand Three Musketeers by now. Like, a certain majority of the people of the world must know what a musketeer is. So let's not even explain what that is. Characters.
You're supposed to read the book, right?
Yeah, it's like, everyone's read that, like, 200-year-old book. I think it's, like, 200 years old.
Yeah.
It's a pretty old book.
It's a classic, we'll just say.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think, like, okay, maybe it's not 200 years old, but it's fucking old, and
And I prefer the Disney Three Musketeers.
Yes.
So, and maybe The Man in the Iron Mask has a sequel.
What about The Musketeer?
It was a pretty cool movie. I think
we already talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. We talked a good chunk about that. Yeah. But there's some good scenes. I'm going to say that, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. The story is pretty much like a weird retelling where D'Artagnan knew Kung Fu.
Yep.
So, that's the only twist about this version. And this one, it's like D'Artagnan's like 10 or something. He's
like Michael Cera.
Really young. Yeah, he looks like fucking Michael Cera's stunt double.
Yeah. like a stunt double by Scott Pilgrim or something.
Yeah. That's about it.
And also, like, Orlando Bloom is in it, like, Mila Jovovich and Christoph Waltz.
Isn't Christoph Wolf the bad guy again?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's Cardinal Richelieu.
Oh, man. Still, Tim Curry's Cardinal Richelieu is better.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the only thing I can compare to a Three Musketeer movie to.
Wait.
Is the Disney one. Because, yeah, Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm. Kiefer Sutherland. Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt, for some strange reason.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Who?
She was in The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah, because I always... Like, that's the only Woody Allen movie that I know that, like... The title sounds so weird. But anyway.
That was a Woody Allen movie?
Yeah, Hand That Rocks the Cradle? I think that's a Woody Allen movie.
I don't think so, but... You look that up, Chris, but... So yeah, Three Musketeers. Oh, also directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, the auteur behind, like, Resident Evil movies and Death Race.
Oh, boy.
And Soldier. And also Event Horizon.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Which Event Horizon...
Okay, Event Horizon my bad. Yeah. And that rocks the cradle, depending on the current one, like 1992?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one.
Mm-hmm. So, also, we have American Pie 1 and 2 on Blu-ray for obvious reasons, because the American Reunion is coming up in a couple months.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Neverland is out, the weird sci-fi miniseries that came out a couple months ago. Sort of like the prequel to... It seemed like the prequel to Hook, actually.
Really?
It's like Bob Hoskins was still Smee.
Really?
Yeah.
I never seen Neverland, so
it's sort of like the origins of Captain Hook.
And is he portrayed as like a good guy or something?
I'm not really sure. Like I know it's like him. Like he doesn't have his hook yet. Like he's fighting the crocodile. I think at the end.
I never heard of this show. I would watch this.
It looked pretty good. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to watch it though.
It's just called Neverland?
Yeah.
Alright.
It was like, I think it was like a 2 or 3 episode miniseries. Yeah, oh yeah, like Peter Pan is like part of like, Captain Hook is like, he like assembles like this crew of like young thieves and stuff, they end up in from like London to Neverland.
I do like how Keira Knightley's in it.
Yeah.
As Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm. And
that, for some strange reason, David Carradine's in it?
Yep. And future lizard Reese Ifans.
That is not a name. That is medicine. That's what medicine sounds like.
I wonder if it's right. Is that Rice Ifans? Because I think. Or is it
the British way?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Reese? Like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers?
It looks like it, but the English names really test my boundaries of, like, phonics is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've seen this guy in many movies.
Yeah. Also, speaking of stuff that was on a miniseries, Bag of Bones is on DVD. Based on a Stephen King novel starring Pierce Brosnan. It's about, like, a little girl got murdered or something, or Pierce Brosnan's, like, a writer that's trying to, like, solve this murder or something.
I think he goes and writes about the murder.
Yeah.
He's not trying to solve it. He's just like, wow, it's a mystery. And then weird stuff, I'm going to write a book about it.
And then weird stuff starts happening to him. In typical Stephen King fashion.
I remember the advertisement is really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Ever like been on a website with like the Bag of Bones advertisement?
It's like this girl, little girl drowning.
Yeah, she's like pounding on your window, like, "Hey,
yeah,
what's up?" I'm like, "Oh shit, what the hell is this?
What are you doing?"
And she blinks at you and stuff. Yeah. It was pretty good marketing, but like I had no interest in seeing it.
I think it was on like TNT or something. Because they know drama.
Oh, man. Hawthorne, why?
And speaking of TV mysteries, The Killing Season 1's out.
Like half a story.
Man. One of the most, like, hated season finales I've seen in a while. Everyone was so pissed.
I'm someone who likes to watch his murder mysteries, like, once I know, like, the story's kind of complete, so I don't need to be like, oh boy. Mm-hmm. Well, like, as a kid, like, I hated that, and now as an adult, like, that makes me angry. You know, yeah. Like, because there's a chance I might go online, someone might say something and ruin it for me. But knowing that no one fucking knows what the hell the killing ends is amazing.
Yeah.
That means I could wait for years and find out later.
Oh, God. And, like, the executive producer was just, like, so, like, hey, if you don't like it, fuck off. You stupid peons.
You don't get the murder.
Yeah. I imagine that she's like European or something. I don't know.
This is fucking making it European.
This is us, is what we're doing. If you don't understand it, you can go watch whatever. Larry.
Go watch The Office.
Larry Cable Guy, whatever his name is. Larry the TV Man. Yeah. So the killing's back like April 1st. So I might watch like the first episode just to see like how they're gonna like resolve the cliffhanger, if they're gonna resolve the cliffhanger.
Solve it within the first 5 minutes of the show.
Oh my god. If they just like it was like the end of like first 5 minutes they like end season one's mystery and it's like, alright, on to the next thing. People will like burn down AMC.
AMC cannot throw enough Mad Men or Walking Dead at people to stop that.
Yeah. So, and then we also have Wallace and Gromit's World of Invention, which is, like, a weird... It's not Wallace and Gromit, like, cartoons. It's, like, they had hosted this show about people's inventions.
Is this a TV show?
Yeah, apparently it was. Yeah. I think it was on, like, BBC, maybe, or something.
How, like... And it's, like, real people, like, real inventions, right?
Yeah.
Now, how sad is that? Is like, you have an idea that might change the world, and it's being, like, introduced by, like, a clumsy British claymation guy. He's like, look at this project, Gromit, and it's just like, asshole, I try to do this for humanity.
Oh no, my trousers. My trousers are acting up.
Unless they really pre-screen these inventions to be like, absurdly like,
stupid,
dangerous. Yeah, stupidly dangerous. Like, okay, like, these people have no idea of like, reality, so let's just make fun of them behind their backs.
Yeah.
Because imagine like, before these people got like, introduced to like, the show, they're like, I want to show you this invention. And they're like, wait, we'll be right back.
I'm gonna go on.
Keep rolling the footage. Keep rolling the footage.
I'm gonna go on Shark Tank. Or whatever the Dragon's Den or whatever the hell the British one is. There's so many of those weird, like, pitch your idea to us.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So just the fact that you failed, it's like failing through, like, a lot of American Idols to get to the bottom tier one where it's just like, win a day singing at the mall or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's the equivalent to winning your prize invention on a Wallace and Gromit's, like, show.
I don't think you're winning anything. It's just, like, you're getting featured as, like, profile or something.
Oh, my God. That's even worse. It's like, you don't even get compensation for your misery. People always remember you as, like, the third video from, like, the Wallace and Gromit experiment.
This man invented sunglasses that have a tissue on it. So you can blow your nose without moving your sunglasses.
This man invented pants. It opens up when you fart. Like, that's a Wallace and Gromit invention that, like, it'd be funny to watch in the claymation, but it'd be terrible in reality.
Yeah. Well, I think, did you ever watch American Invention? Or American Inventor?
No, I didn't see that.
Like, a person came in that had, like, fart pads that you put in your pants, and, like, when you fart, it, like, makes, like, it goes to the pad and, like, makes it not smell.
You mean, like clothing things? Oh, it's that, like, a dryer sheet?
Kind of, yeah.
Like, That's what a dryer sheet does.
Oh, man.
Except I don't fart into them, so.
My George Foreman was on that show. It was really weird. Anyway. So, a couple more things come out this week. We have the 35th anniversary of Wizards. It's a Blu-ray DVD. Which is it's like heavy metal sort of cartoon by Ralph Bakshi, who also did the Lord of the Rings cartoons.
Oh, those cartoons are very hard to watch.
Yeah.
So
this one is there's Nazi orcs and there's fighting guys on ostriches with guns and it's really crazy and weird. But it's the 35th anniversary, so it's out for some reason. I think he also did the weird Felix the Cat porn version.
Oh, I mean Fritz the Cat?
Fritz the Cat, yes, that's what he did that.
Oh. So it's this before porn cartoons were popular. Mm-hmm. He was leading it away. So, yeah. Perverts.
This is definitely in the heavy metal genre of animation.
Huh.
And then also, speaking of crazy cartoons, Super Jail Season 2 is out.
Yay! Modern.
Modern fucked up cartoons. And that's it.
Ah.
Took a while, but we got through it, Chris.
Yeah, we only deviated a little bit, but not too bad.
So that's going to do it for this week's show, unless there's anything else.
Nope, I think we're good. I'll save the rest for next week.
Okay. So if you want more information, you go to www.everythingaction.com for news, features, reviews. We got a review with John Carter up, if you want to check that out. Also, up on the site now, we have our top 10 over-the-top villain deaths.
Yeah. Check that out. Really good article. Really good article.
Do you agree with the choices?
Yep. I haven't seen The Marine, so I can't.
Oh my god.
Gauge in that.
We should do a
commentary. It sounds hilarious.
We should do a commentary in that movie. I can't
believe. Does it need it? Does it really?
It does need it. It's freaking It was I think that was the third or fourth movie me and Brian did for the Kick-Ass Movie Podcast.
I saw the trailer for The Marine when it was in theaters, and I was no. No, thank you. And that was when John Cena was getting popular too. So.
It's so hilariously insane. There's so many, huge explosions that people, walk away from. Casually walk away from.
Yeah, that was in the trailer. I saw a few from the trailer, and I was no, thank you.
Robert Patrick, shoots a police car and blows the shit out of it and just, walks away from it. All right, I'm on fire, but no, I don't really care.
And he's, wearing a suit, too. He's not wearing anything,
Yeah. And it's, he and his gang of diamond thieves.
I still can't believe they're diamond thieves. They're not anything else. They're just something cliche.
And John Cena's name is John Triton. And he's he got kicked out of the Marines because he went in and murdered a bunch of terrorists or Taliban guys and rescued a bunch of hostages. But because he went in with defying orders, they kicked him out.
Wait, he's an ex-Marine because of that?
Yeah.
Because he's too damn good at his job?
Yep. Hey, wow. We told you shouldn't go in there, and you went in there, so you're kicked out. I gotta add that to the list of commentaries. The movie's fucking crazy. But yeah, so anyway, views, features, a bunch of other stuff going up on there. Commentaries. New commentary coming pretty soon. Possibly as soon as next week. So stay tuned to the site for that. And we're also on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction. We got retweet a bunch of funny stuff we find. We can see stuff from the site as it goes up on Twitter. Live blogs. I think Joe mentioned that he live blogged. Which one? Jack and Jill, did he live blog? Or which one?
Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
And did you do anything else?
I think it's just Jack and Jill. So, yeah. So, just follow Twitter. You can see a bunch of crazy stuff that we post. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is our Facebook page. You can like us on there. You can see stuff from the site as it goes up. Also, a bunch of news stories we find from around the web we put up on there. Funny videos we put up there, like the Batman and Robin musical. is up on there. You can check that out if you haven't seen it yet.
We explored the internet.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Facebook.com/everything.action for the latest action movie news and stuff on the site. And we're on iTunes. If you want to go to the iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the podcast in there, rate us, leave comments. You can get our app on there as well for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's new and improved version 2. It's still free. It still gets the last 20 stories of the site. You can also listen to the podcast from the app, which is cool. So definitely check that out. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.